Okay, so let's continue on again. Page Tesvav, left side. I'm going to start reading before I start talking, because otherwise it's not going to work. Okay, so where are we holding over here? V'chein parashas Vayechi. So last word in the line is V'chein. You see that by the period? V'chein parashas Vayechi. So again, continuing on how even after you have the Gilui of Shimon V'chulu, L'maisa, it's only understood for those that understand. Yoav Chacham L'chakimim, like it says. Hashem gives wisdom to those that are wise anyway. V'chein parashas Vayechi. So also in Parshas Vayechi, Omar Shem, it says like this, that Bacha Rab Abba v'Omar, that Rab Abba cried and said, Rishim Raychoi, detachni minei manatava. So again, this is talking about after the histalkus of Rab Shimon. So Rab Abba is crying over the loss of Rab Shimon, detachni minei manatava, that Rab Shimon was able to grind for us like good stuff. Otherwise, you know, it's like spices, you can't just bite into a piece of ginger. It's not, you know, but if you grind it and use it, you know, accordingly, then it's good. So Rav Shimon knew how to do that. And now that Rav Shimon's gone, all that we have left is like the buzz says, like take one thing of man, keep it in a jar for safeguarding and so on. Like, that's all we have. Vilbis Galya like Siv, that one jar of man, it was hidden. It wasn't out in the open for everyone to see. So the same thing over here. So all we have left is Rav Shimon's Torah, and even that is being kept hidden. So who's now going to reveal secrets and who's going to let us know about it? They got this Rav Abba crying after the histalkus of Rav Shimon. We find this in a few places in the Zohar. The Rav Abba, all the time, even were heartbroken, but Rav Abba in particular, we find him expressing like the loss of Rav Shimon. Some places, there's stories in the Zohar where he goes up to Shemayim to try to visit Rav Shimon again. So he says, Gam Parshas Achrimais, also in Parshas Achrimais, we find a similar description, that Bas of the Shach of Rashbi, after Rav Shimon Reichai passed away, Havi Chavraya Amri, so the Chavarim said amongst themselves, they sort of accepted the following pasuk: Al titein es picha, lachti es besarcha. Don't allow your mouth to cause sin to your body, to your flesh. What does that mean? And as in this context, it means they were saying like we're be makabel on ourselves. We're gonna keep the secrets within ourselves. We're not gonna spread it. We're not gonna let people that, you know, because it might cause sin. It might cause a zilzal to that. The truth is, we find this also after the stalkus of the Ari HaKadosh. Very, very similar. It'll be a zilzal to the learning if it's not received properly, and it might cause damage to those that are not prepared for it. We find the same thing with the Ari HaKadosh. After the Arizal passed away, it's very interesting because when the Arizal was alive, the Arizal kept on pushing Reb Chaim that I only want to teach you, I don't want to teach anyone else. And having other people there is staring, it's not a good thing. But Reb Chaim Vital said, like, B'shem Eifin, I'm not receiving this by myself, it's for Klal Yisrael, I want as all the Chavirim to be there. Fine? After the histalkus of the Rizal, the Reb Chaim, it would seem like it looks as if like switched gears. He writes himself that he went to all the chaverim and he took all their notes, he took all the things that they wrote, and he made them take a shvua that they're not going to teach this, they're not going to publicize it at all. Only Reb Chaim Vital, and they all agreed, they all knew this, that the Rizal. Sort of understood from the perspective of the Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital was the only tzinor, is the only neshama to allow this Torah out. It can only be through Reb Chaim Vital. More than that, Reb Chaim Vital was so makbid and so he safeguarded these ksavim to such a degree that it was known amongst the tzaddikim and Eretz Yisrael and the surrounding countries also that Reb Chaim Vital had these ksavim. But he kept it so private, like no one was allowed to learn. He wouldn't teach to anybody, mamish, nothing. So there's a legend. It's like this. I was going to finish the paragraph, but no, it's okay. It's interesting. There's a maisa of, we spoke about this once, like maybe a few shuas ago. There's a maisa of the 600 pages, the tough resh niyarim, 600 pages. What happened was that there was a lot of mekubalim that wanted to study the teachings of the Arizal. Reb Chaim Vital wasn't allowing it. So there was a maisa that Reb Chaim Vital became sick. and he was in bed for, and he was like out of it for like 3 days or so. And so one of the head mekubalim, and I say the word mekubalim, they were not, they didn't learn the Kisviari, because Reb Chaim Vital again was not teaching it, but at least they had, you know, Kabbalah from Pri Arizal. So one of the heads of them was named, his name was Yeshua ben Nun, that was his name. So, ironically. So anyway, so this Rabbi Yeshua decided he's going to do something. He hired about 100 seifrim, and they broke into Reb Chaim Vital's like office or whatever, study. And for the next 3 days, like 24/7, he had these seifrim copy. They didn't have copy machines, you know. But you have to understand, we're talking about big pages, very tiny handwriting from Reb Chaim Vital, and content that the seifrim themselves didn't know what they're writing. So if you're copying something, and you have to understand, like in the Kisvei Ari, if he's writing down a certain Shem Kodesh, what Nakuda it is with precision. So, but if you're copying this and it's just gibberish to you, you have no idea what you're writing, and it's just Nakuda. So a lot of it is going to be, and also you have 100 seifrim working at different parts of it. You know what I mean? So it became a mess.
It's another thing if things.
Yeah, they eventually produced 600 pages, 600 big double-sided pages, tough reish niyaris, the 600 pages. And then Reb Chaim Vital, you know, woke up, you know, he got better and he shut down the program. But so those pages, that spread around. There's even traditions that it got to Europe already. There's a tradition from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, in Chabad, there's a where did Baal Shem Tov come from? So most chatziris don't have such a misur about the history of the Baal Shem Tov himself. Like, okay, Baal Shem Tov just, you know, he's a tzaddik, he came out of nowhere. In Chabad, there's a misur that before the Baal Shem Tov, there was already a group of nistarim, of Baal Shems. Baal Shem was a title for the head of groups of secret tzaddikim nistarim, of lama vat tzaddikim. So that was called the Baal Shem. So there were many Baal Shems before the Baal Shem Tov, you know. He's called the Baal Shem Tov because he publicized it. V'yara l'kim is ha'oriki toif. Light, which is to see something openly, that's toif. So Baal Shem Tov, he took the society and he brought it to the public. So there's a Masara by Chabad that the Baal Shem Tov, when he was a kid, the Baal Shem before Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, I can't remember his name, maybe Rabbi Adam or Rabbi Yoel, it was a bunch of them. So the previous Baal Shem sent his son to the surrounding areas of Mezhevish and said, Alkup, whatever the area was, and said, like, there's a neshama there. Like, find this neshama and be makar. So somehow he found the Baal Shem Tov as a kid. And he was makar the Baal Shem Tov to Pnimius HaTorah and so on. And the tradition is that he brought him, that this son of the Baal Shem brought Strolka to his father or the Zakenim, and they had 600 pages. There was 600 pages that they studied from and whatever. So 600 pages, that's not a random number. I mean, the Sfaradish tradition of this Maisa with Yeshua ben Nun and so on, and now all of a sudden in Europe you have this Maisa of the Baal Shem Tov, 600 pages, and somehow that like opened up his mind and v'chulu, but he eventually leads him on the path to become the Baal Shem Tov. The Stam is one of the same.
But by that time, the Kisvei Ari wasn't already.
No, I mean it was, but not. First of all, that's going back. Even though 600 pages was the Madura Kama of Reb Chaim Vital, the first edition. Reb Chaim Vital spent his whole life. Reb Chaim Vital spent 20 months or so learning by the Ari HaKadosh. At the time, all he did was just quickly take notes. Like the Arizal wasn't giving Sherman a Masudah Dik away. He would be walking somewhere, he would see one of the Talmidim and give over like a yichud and tell him, when you put on tzitzis, have this kavana. Another moment, he would see another Jew, okay, when you put the mezuzah on your door, whatever it is, have this kavana. It wasn't in a Masudah Dik away, okay, now, shir aleph, shir beis. It wasn't like that. So it was just whatever needed to be said at the time. So during those months, all Reb Chaim Vital was doing was just writing down everything, not being masada, just getting it all down. Later on, he refers to these kuntrasim in his writings. Like, I saw in the kuntras, you know, this inyan, and then he goes on to say, like, later in later editions, he's like, I'm not sure exactly what it means. Maybe it means like this. Maybe, you know, he's referencing back to what he wrote at the time. You know, anyway, so the rest of his life, you know, he just spent writing over, fleshing it out, making it a cohesive system, writing it over, and so on and so forth. So the first Madura that he wrote, those were, the 600 pages were from that first Madura. But the first of all, so those 600 pages were all over the place, right? And even if it wasn't all over the place, it was only the first Madura. It was only the first edition. So Chavital then worked on second editions and third editions. So when we have the Kisveri now, that's there's different sections to it, but the Shmoyne Sha'arim, the edition that Rabbi Chaim Vital sort of, he himself wanted to, again, he didn't publish it or send it out, but the one that he sort of said, okay, this is the final edition, that's called the Shmoyne Sha'arim, the Eight Gates. It's a volume of Eight Svarim. What we have in the Eitz Chaim, for example, is not that. The Eitz Chaim is a lot of the first edition, not the six, with the 600 pages, but like organized, the first edition with the final edition. The middle edition, which is the Eight Gates, that's sort of like a standalone series that Rav Chaim Vital has by itself. Whatever, it's a complicated zach. That in that you're talking about, of Rav Chaim Vital being buried with Ksavim, so that was the final edition, what's called the Madura Basra. The Madura Basra...
That's the only known copy.
So it's interesting. We don't have the full extent of the Madura Basra because it was buried. So it became what happened was I'll explain in a moment why, but maybe. But like the last Madura, there's two. If you ask around, people will tell you like he was buried with it. Like when Rechai Vital was nifter, he buried himself with this Madura Basra. It's not likely. There's different Gersai. It has to do with in the Sefer Shem HaGdolim from the Chida. So there's different like Gerses in it. There are some Gerses that sound like that. The Rechaim Vital himself was buried within it. Other Gerses is not that he wasn't buried, but he buried it. And as he wasn't buried with it, but he buried it. And what happened was, at some point, the Mekubalim did like a Sheilas Chalim. It was after the Histalkas of Rechaim already. They did like a Sheilas Chalim. And they got to have a heter to dig it up, to exhume it. So Befrat, if he was buried with it, they would have to exhume his body in order to get it. But they asked Min HaShemayim, and they were given permission to do that. And so they took it out. Now, a lot of it was already dissolved and ruined. But whatever it is that they got back, so that's the sefer that we have, Mavish Arm. The volume of Kisvei is called Mavish Arm. That's this Madur Basra. The question is, why would he bury this last set? Like, why would this last Madura, why would that be? So, it's unclear. Amongst the Mekubalim, it's questionable whether this last edition is like the highest of the high, like the Sefer Nisrav, like by Rav Nachman. There was a, besides the Kutim Aran, there's also a book, that's another Sefer that he wrote, but he ended up burning it, because it was like, not because it was Chas V'Shalom, it was too much. Right, so that's one Mahalach. Or another malach is that fakert, that the style of the Mavish Aram, which is, maybe this is the Pashur Shah, the style of the Mavish Aram is different than the previous editions. The previous editions, the Rechaim Vital was more keeping true to what the Arizal said, without too much of his own commentary, and Pulpulim and Shakvataria. The Madur Basra, the Mavish Aram that we have, whatever pieces of it they were able to get out, it has more of a Shakavataria, more of a Chaim involved in the content, more than just like this is what the Arizal told me. You know what I'm saying? All the Maduras is Rechaim Vital fleshing it out and organizing it. But in terms of like, you know, input of his own ideas of like, well, this sugya, this idea is a steer to that, the Eishleimer, this is the Pshat, you know. That type of thing he doesn't really do in the early Maduras. In this last Madura, that he did a lot. So it could be that he felt, okay, I'm not, you know, maybe he regretted like doing that and felt like, okay, that's my personal chedushim, but it's not my avaida to do that. So that's why he buried it. So it's he put his ego to the, like, no, it's, I'm saying that. So those are the two, you know, possibilities. The Baal HaSada, Chaim Shol Dweck, one of the great Sradish Mekubalim. So he writes in a few places that, the way he describes the Mavish Aram is like fakert. It's like the highest and the holiest. And maybe that's why we weren't zeichet to it. You know, You have other mekubal, let's say fakir, that it was more of Chaim Vital's own personal shakratari. That's why it was different traditions like that. But again, you see that Chaim Vital, despite the fact that during the lifetime of the Riyah Kaddish, he was very much trying to have it spread to everywhere. But once the Arizal was nostalgic, then he kept it very, very tight. And it's not a steer. When the Arizal's around, so then he trusts that the Arizal will be able to solve any problem. Like, if there's any problem, he'll fix it. The Arizal's not there, so then it's a little left to us, to, so to speak, figure it out. Then he was much more cautious.
What about the other Talmidim? I don't know, we've spoken about Marisari, but even the other Talmidim that were sitting there, they didn't have anything to give over from.
No, Ruchai Vital didn't let it. He made them take a shvuah.
Not to say what would be.
Not to teach. He took away their ksavim. I mean, he really. Again, the only reason why Reb Chaim Vital, why they were even there in the first place, was Reb Chaim Vital wanted them to be there, like that he shouldn't receive it by himself. But it wasn't. I mean, you see at the end, Reb Chaim Vital also chat, it wasn't really about them, it was about him. It's just that he didn't want to. He wanted to have some support from the chavirim around him. But Lamaisa, it was him at the end, It took generations for the Kisvei Ari for the Mekubalim to be willing to for it to be open. Like even after Reb Chaim Vital passed away, so his son Reb Shlomo Vital, he was the next one in line to really edit the writings of Reb Chaim Vital. He also a little bit reorganized the Shmoyne Sha'arim, the Eight Gates. He took reorganized it. Like that's a shmuz by itself. Reb Yaakov Hillel Zalman, he's a One of the things that he was very involved in for a number of years is reprinting the Shmoyne Sha'arim as Reb Chaim Vital made it. Because there's certain stylistic differences. So, for example, in Reb Chaim Vital's Shmoyne Sha'arim, there was a separate section. There was an entire volume of Kisvei. I think it was called Kisvei. Yes, this it's a Kisvei Mari. This is it. Yeah, Kisvei Mari. This is Reb Yaakov Hillel's edition of the Shmoyne Sha'arim. So Kisvei Mairi means actual ksavyad of the Arizal. But ironically, those chidushim of the ksavyad of the Arizal that Reb Chaim Vital makes its own volume are actually not as, not reliable, but they're not as significant as the other parts of the writings. Why? Because these were writings that the Arizal wrote before. I remember we spoke about this. When he got to Eretz Yisrael those last 24 months, that's when the Arizal was the Arizal. And he stopped writing then. So any something that we have from the Arizal, it's really his highest madrega. So that he made that a separate section. He also, in every section, he also made at the end of every section a collection of ksavim, of Torah from the Arizal, that he didn't hear, but his chaverim heard. Which also are less authentic, less reliable, or less, less heavy, less weighty. What Reb Shmuel Vital did in order to make it flow easier, he incorporated all of that into the body, into the text itself. So, for the reader, it makes it smoother. It makes the sugyas filled out more. But if you're trying to figure out like which paragraph is like more weighty in terms of like halach lemaisa, then it's important to know what's the Kisvei Mairi, what's the from the chaverim, so there's certain changes that Reb Shmuel Vital did from there. But even Reb Shmuel Vital, he didn't publicize it, and he gave a shir on Shabbos from the ksavim of his father to a select group of people. That's what he did. So it was and people tzaddikim traveled from countries in order to be by Reb Shmuel Vital to be by that Shabbos shir. Shmuel Vital, yeah, my sense. Shmuel Vital. So that's what he did. And then his Talmidim, Ramir Paparish, and other Talmidim, they put together what we call the Eitz Chaim, which was connecting the first Madura with the final Madura, making it like that. And slowly but surely, it began to become more publicized. Rav Nachman has a Torah. Rav Nachman says that the word Keser, which means crown. So in Iyev we find kater li mishan. The word kater keser means to wait.
Hamtein.
It's not. The inin of patience is very much needed with Pinyus HaTorah. Not only because otherwise, it takes time to understand. The etzem is an inin in order that the chachma of Torah should be, of Pinyus HaTorah should be flowing from the keser. The chachm, the ayin timotze. The chachm should come from keser. That it should have keser. So that means the chachm itself has to come out requiring patience. It has to come out slow. When it comes out like that, then that chachm contains within it the crown of elikos. You know, how do you make sure that the words of Torah are not just words that stand by themselves, but they're vehicles for Hashem's presence? One of the key things is for those words to be said and to be learned with patience. If it's said and learned with patience, then those words of Chachma are now changed into a vessel, into a receptacle for Keser, which means to wait, Hamtein, Kater. And then Keser, which means the light of Hashem Himself, and then that, you know, then that Chachma can then be a vehicle for the Keser. But that the way that one of the keys is that is to have patience, you know. So that's why it's the Hakdama is taking so long to go through. All right.